Welcome back to part two. Welcome to the Encouragement Now podcast with licensed professional counselor Kevin Phillips, personal growth life coach Laura Donnie, and pastoral care and peer counselor Joseph Ferreira. Laura, we talked about false guilt. We had an episode, a couple episodes are on false guilt. And I think what part of that is that if we don't keep moving, that false guilt kicks in, just like Kevin says, the anxiety. And we have to recognize that. We have to recognize what it is. Now, I do tell my clients to rest, to give them permission. And that comes through building systems. And one of the systems that I use is the calendar. So if I have a student who is struggling with anxiety, or they feel like everything's out of control, I tell them to use your calendar. Okay, from what time do you get home? Okay, once you figure out what time you get home, let's put on the calendar. I'm going to do schoolwork from this time to this time. When do you eat dinner? Put that in your calendar. When do you take time to rest? Put that in your calendar. And so that system is there to give them permission. And also it's there to help them to keep track, to have some sort of a guide, a reminder. Because if we let the day go by, then we feel guilty about not being productive when we should have been productive. And then it's a vicious cycle. The cycle goes over and over. And then you are death scrolling on social media so that you can go to sleep, except you're not, because your brain's going at a million miles an hour. And then rinse and repeat, you're doing it over again. So have a system, build a system. That system could be your calendar. I use my calendar all the time. I'll look at it and go, oh, I have a bunch of different clients. Okay, I have time right here to rest. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have, I'm not going to work from the time I wake up until 1 p.m. because I have calls going into 8:30. Yes. And so I'm not going to start at 8 a.m. and just fill up my time all the way till 8 p.m. Right. Or else I'm going to wear myself out. And so I have to look at it and say, okay, from this time to this time, I'm going to spend it with my family. I'm going to take care of, some small chores here and there so that I at least feel like I'm, not wasting the day, but I'm also going to rest. I'm going to take time to sit back and enjoy the sunshine. Now that it's sunny, a couple of days ago, it was just a bunch of gray. You didn't want to go outside, but allow for that time to be there for you to be able to hit the ground running when you need to work.
Yeah, that's really good. Build systems. And it's true. I live by my calendar. And what I mean by that is I like to be responsible. And life is so busy that if it's not on the calendar, then it may not happen, right? And so I love that you both have this practical approach to everything. Like, I really appreciate that word of Earth's rhythms. Like, I've never heard that before, and yet everything in me receives it, right? It's like, yeah, I personally am so out of touch with Earth's rhythms because I'm not a farmer. I'm not, I don't grow things. And so I'm listening to you and saying, wow, I can really grow in this. And I love what Joseph is saying, is that you have to build rest into the system, right? Without feeling guilty. And we understand this is why therapy can be very helpful, because a person might say, well, I just can't help it. Okay. That may be true that you can't help it, because growing up, where all your formative thinking and the blueprint is, I've had friends that weren't even allowed to sit on their bed. You know what I mean? There was no resting even in their resting space. You know, they had to be doing something all the time. And that becomes wired into us in very unhealthy ways. Is it good to have a clean house, listener? Of course. Is it good to live to have a clean house? Absolutely not. Because then now you're not enjoying the clean house. You're the slave. Mm-hmm. Of the house. And when you were talking, Kevin, about so many children do not even know what their parents do, I have to share this funny story. So my sister-in-law many years ago worked for a place called McLean's Florist. So she worked for McLean's Florist. And, you know, that was always talked about, that she's at work and she's at McLean's Florist. So one day I have her son, my nephew, with me. And I pointed out to him that's what your mom, where your mom works. And he says, yeah, I know. My mom cleans floors. And I said, what? Mm-hmm. He said, yeah, my mom cleans floors. And I had to laugh because what he heard was not what he was imagining. And so we would say, parents, help your children to know what it is that you're doing so that they can have a better understanding of who you are and what you bring to the table. But, you know, that was so fun. Years mm-hmm. ago, I did this for myself. And so I began to do it with my clients. And I want to share it with the listener. I would have them gather, let's say, just say 50 paper plates. And the goal was that they were to write on it everything that they're responsible for, everything that they're doing on a regular basis, right? So that could be church and it could be work and it could be children. It could be mom. And, you know, if you're a wife, you're a wife or a husband, you've got to go on there, right? There's duties, responsibilities, pleasures, you know, all that that goes on there. And what I first wanted them to see, and listener, I want you to see, is actually how many plates you actually have that you're managing. Okay. And then I would ask them to put them in the order of the most importance, not what they wished was the most important, you know, what they know is the most important. So of course, you know, children and husband and, you know, would go on there. And then I would ask them, now list the priority they actually get. Because I wanted them to see that in their mind, they're saying, oh, my marriage is the most important, but it's actually showing up on the list of 15 things. It's actually showing up as 9 or 10. Yeah. Now, the next part of this exercise, listener, and I encourage you to do this, is then I said to them, I don't want you to think of these paper plates anymore as paper plates. I want you to think of them as the finest bone china. And what you're actually doing is you're spinning plates. And we've all seen those performers, right? They spin plates and then they add a second plate. And then, you know, so they're walking around, they're spinning all these plates all the time. And I said to them, the reality is you're not spinning paper plates. You're spinning plates that if they fall, they shatter. You're not going to pick that back up. You're not, it's not going to be an easy fix. And for many, it was very sobering. Because what they realized is that, you know, they want their children to be one of the most, you know, because here's what happens. They want them to be spinning the closest to them. But the more plates you spin, the further out you got to go. Okay. So the ones that are closest are often the ones that on our deathbed, we're going to wish that we were not spinning those plates to the priority of, say, others. And it's a sobering thing because we are all spinning plates, and that there's nothing wrong with spinning plates. What's wrong is when we have too many. What's wrong is when we're putting priority on the plates that shouldn't have priority, and that's very easy to do. And then I would say to them, you know, everybody's lifestyle is different, but, you know, some women, I mean, honestly, had like 25 plates. And I say to them, do you actually have the energy and the time and the resources for 25 plates? And then many of them would say, no. And then I'd say, you have to decide what plates you're not going to spin anymore. It goes back to what Kevin said. There's seasons, right? Even the Proverbs 31 woman is not expected to do all of that at one time. And in fact, I like to tell women, if they're going to try to live by that proverb, listen, she had servants. Did you miss that part? She had servants. She had help, you know, and God bless her. Okay. So it's a great exercise for us to recognize that there are some plates for the season. I can't do this anymore. I can't serve in the church nursery three services in a row. I got my own little ones and my husband who wants to spend time with me. That's our day off, right? It's not that it's wrong or bad. It's that it's wrong for you, listener, in this season of your life. In 10 years, you might be able to do all three services and who knows, take on something else too. So spinning plates is something we all do. But if we're not careful, it will exhaust us because one of the plates we don't put in there is rest.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wanted to talk to parents for a second. I mean, you guys, both you guys and Joseph initiated the idea, calendar-based systems. If you go back in our histories, and if we wanted to change socially or change a group of people culturally or even militaristically or whatever, then we would start with the kids. Adolf Hitler did that. The propaganda, the indoctrination and all that, you know, that's happening in the Middle East a good bit as well and so on, different parts of the world, right? So I think in order to teach rest and the power of rest and allow our children to experientially experience rest and the benefit thereof, we have to plan that into our family systems. So instead of always being on an electronic device, you know, if three people are sitting on the couch, mom and dad and child, and the child's texting their friend, the mom's on her Kindle, and her dad's on his work computer, are they really together? Are they experiencing family peace? No. I think we're going to have to unplug, and we're going to have to do things like board games, and we're going to have to do things like puzzles. And the kids out there, oh, my God, that's so lame. Are you kidding me? I'd rather whatever, fill in the blanks. But we have to teach that into the DNA of our children so they can value that time, because that time becomes relational rest, not necessarily taking a nap or sleeping, but relational rest or being able to talk to each other or being able to laugh because somebody made a mistake on a board game and that something silly said. Those memories equates to rest, relational rest. And we don't have that because we're too stinking busy. So we need to jump off the merry-go-round or the hamster wheel as a family system and program those times into our week. As Joseph was talking, you know, if my life is kind of dictated by a calendar, not only because I want it to be based upon that, because I see clients on an hourly basis. And if I can't just commit to somebody, yeah, I'll come over next week. I got to look at like three or four calendars, man. And so what we can do is program Saturday night for 2 hours with our children. No electronics. Turn the TVs off. Drop the phones in this lockbox. We're going to play a board game or we're going to have a conversation. And that just imparts the DNA to our children that time, that relational time equals rest instead of running helter-skelter all over the place. So I was just thinking that family system, as you guys were talking about, that calendar-based systems. I like that. You know, and also oftentimes rest can equal less activities, like Laura was alluding to. Rest can equal less work hours. We don't have to retire with all the money in the bank. The scripture says if a man gains the whole world and loses his soul, what good is it? You know? And so I would say start doing your budgets. If you don't need to work 92 hours because you can financially survive with 45 hours, then use the other 45 hours to do family time or to do family chores or whatever. And so that rest can equal less work hours. That rest can equal more relational time. Men, don't watch the sports. Go to bed with your wife so you can have those tender conversations. That's rest. Those conversations are rest. And so rest is more than just sleeping. And I just wanted to kind of bring that to light as far as a family systems planning need.
Yes. I wholeheartedly agree with Kevin on that, because we can just by default go to our own corners. We can, you know, we can allow for the electronics to babysit our children. We can do all these things that will cause us to be separate. And sometimes what we do is we will over produce things like, oh, we have to do that. We have to do things as a family this way. We have to make it the most memorable thing ever. Well, I'm sorry, but you can't make everything the most memorable thing ever. That doesn't work that way. And so it sometimes it's the simplest things that are the most memorable thing ever. And so you have to figure those out on your own. One of the things that Laura said that I liked was that when she was talking about the spinning plates, I talked to my clients about what are your primaries and what are your secondaries? Because if everything's a primary, then nothing's a primary. And so we have to make sure that our primaries stay the primary and our secondaries stay the secondary so that we're not lumping everything together and going, it's just too much for me. I can't do it, obviously. But allow for things to not happen. Like, I have to do this. I have to do that. I have to do this. Okay. What's more important in that list? If that is, then do it. If you can go without doing it, that thing that day, then don't do it. Be okay with it. And another thing I'd like to talk about is for people that may be looking for a job. Sometimes when we go through the process of looking for a job, it feels like more work than we're actually doing because there's a lot of mental load. There's waiting and wondering. The thing that you will get is false guilt is if I'm not currently looking for a job, then I'm slacking. And you can go through a period of time where you're looking for a job and have absolutely no rest. And that's a very difficult thing to do because there's a lot of things riding on it. And so if you're looking for a job and you're feeling wore out, you just need to escape all the time, put that in your calendar. Allow for yourself to take rest and not just like 5 minutes here or 10 minutes there. Make it an hour or two. Allow for that time in your calendar to help you to get the rest you need so that you can have the mental clarity to be able to keep searching for that job. It's hard when the pressures of life are on our shoulders. It's hard when we feel like society is telling us what to do. You may have family members telling you what to do also. And so you have to allow for the primaries to be the primaries, the secondaries to be the secondaries. And if everything's a primary, then nothing is. And then also allow for you to rest in that search.
Oof, that is good. I like that. If everything's primary, nothing's primary. Like, boy, I'm going to make that a bumper sticker. Well, one of the things I love that the three of us do is, you know, we not only talk about a subject, but we like to give some practical, you know, things. You guys have already done that. You've given some really great suggestions. And so I'm going to give some suggestions, and then I'd love to hear you guys. What are your last thoughts? What do you want to leave the listener with? You know, I want to say to the listener, as soon as you hear yourself say these three things, we want you to check yourselves. As soon as you hear you say, I should, I have to, or I've got to. I'm very tuned in when I hear my clients because I'm able to give that back to them as a mirror because usually, maybe not always, but I would say 90%, whenever our language is, well, I should, and well, I have to, and well, I've got to, you're actually in a place of, back to the word anxiety, right? You're back in a place of, if you're not careful, you'll actually become even resentful. Do I agree that there are things that we should do? Yes. Do I believe that there are things that I have to do and I've got to? Yes. But understand that when the mindset is directed that way rather than I get to or I'm going to, words are very powerful and they communicate something to the body and to the mind. And so, you know, the reason I reached out to Kevin as a therapist, I guess almost 2 years ago now, is because I do this work for a living, but I found that I was in this place of I should, I have to, and I've got to, and I was trying to come out from underneath the mountain of that. And I had some responsibilities that I had taken on joyfully, but over time they felt burdensome. But other people were benefiting and other people wanted me to do it. And but guess what? I was being crushed under the weight. No fault of theirs. But I wasn't, back to the word permission, I wasn't giving myself permission. And I didn't know how to at that point. Because, you know, listener, we understand that when you're in your own head, you can't see what you can't see. We all have blind spots. And I had been divinely already connected with Kevin. And I had that feeling that I needed to reach out to him as a therapist. And he helped me. This is where therapy, especially by a spirit-filled person, is so helpful. Because just in a very short amount of time, he was able to help me unwind some of my thinking. And I... back to the same word. I gave myself permission to say, even if I feel I should, the truth is I don't want to. And I had the freedom to say no. And I did. And it really was one of the most powerful things, you know, through some therapy work with him, that I was able to let go of false burdens. And that's what many of you are actually carrying. They're false burdens. And, you know, do we want you to take on what the Lord has given you? Yes. But even then, it's got to be with the right mindset. Lastly, it's already been said, but, you know, we got to really turn off the phones. They were designed, right? Listener, you probably know this by now. They were designed to ensnare you. Those apps are more powerful than you are. Don't think that you can outsmart the computers. These social media platforms and apps were designed to bring you in and keep you there. So you have to be stronger, bigger, better, wiser than, you know, these things. And, you know, even if it's just to say from this time to this time, even if it's that, even if you just give yourself a 2 hour, 4 hour, 6 hour, whatever it is, give yourself the challenge to start to put the noise down. The messages of hustle, hustle, more, more, do, look what they have. Shut it down and enter into that place of rest. And let's see if I had something else. I like what you guys have already said. Listen, not everything about rest is taking a nap, but hey, we started off this conversation privately talking about naps. Yes, sometimes what everybody needs is a 30-minute nap, okay? I hate that we outgrew that, guys. Like mm-hmm. take me back to kindergarten when we all had to lay down for 30 mm-hmm. minutes, okay? Mm-hmm. Right. You know, and I was thinking about what you said, Kevin. You know, my last thing is to say, sometimes just taking a walk with your husband or somebody you love, just walking hand in hand. Sometimes by yourself, sometimes just with Jesus, but sometimes just getting out of the normal. We all go, oh my gosh, I needed that. That is rest for the soul, rest for the mind, connection to relationship or connection to the divine. So those are the things I want to leave with the listener. And I just want to say, you know, gentlemen, I always love hearing what you have to say. It always renews my mind. And I love the takeaways that I've gotten from the both of you today.
Well, thank you, Laura. We feel the same way. You have a way with words and concepts and insight that's incredible. I want to, the three of us, you know, I think part of what makes our podcast special is that we deal with mental health issues, but we also press the Word of God into it and also as the foundation. And so I want to remind our listeners that God's Word is the source of peace. Of course, Christ even said, Christ is the Word personified. So we're talking about Christ here. We're not talking about God. I'm not talking about Bible worship, but God's Word as a reflection and a written document from Him, a living Word, is the basis of our peace. And so if we're working too much and it crowds out the consumption of God's Word, we're not going to have rest. If we're playing too much, if we're planning too much, if we're trying to entertain our kids too much, if we're trying to do anything too much, that's stir crazy and too distracting and busy, and we're crowding God's Word out, which is the source of peace, we're not going to have peace. And so oftentimes in my life, for example, I have to hit the reset button And I'm in a kind of a self-examination mode all the time, not from a anxiety standpoint, but I want to be balanced, and I want to not have anything crowd my time, because I love the Word of God, and it's the foundation of everything healthy in my life, including rest in my soul. And so examine your life. If you're like too spending too much time with a lot of things that don't amount to anything, then scale that schedule back and make sure we're spending time in God's Word. That is the foundation of our peace.
I agree with the scriptures. I love the scriptures. Psalms 116, starting at verse 5, it says, "The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the unwary. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return to your rest, my soul, for the Lord has been good to you." And then the other thing that I mentioned earlier was what Jesus said, starting in Matthew 11:28. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." And so we need to be in God's Word. We need Christ at the center of our lives, because out there in the world, they dangle these little shiny objects for us, and we chase after them. Just like Ecclesiastes says, it's chasing after the wind, and we run and run and run, and we get weary. And all of a sudden, life becomes burdensome. All these little things that used to not annoy us are annoying us. You know, we're stuck in a house with people we're starting not to like it at all. And, you know, you're surrounded by little terrorists who are only thinking of themselves. So we have to find rest. We have to find it, number one, in Him. And number two, you need to build systems. Build a support for what you need to do. Make sure your primaries are the primaries, your secondaries are the secondaries. You know, I live in the South. You know, we all of us here on the podcast, we live in the South. And so there's this magazine called Southern Living Magazine, where the houses look immaculate. Everything's in its proper place. And you walk into somebody's house that's like that and go, "I can't touch this. I can't even sit down. I don't want to sit down." And years ago, we had a couple from our church come over, and we had bought some secondhand tables and couches and all these things. And they walked in. The husband said, "Wow, you can actually live here," and it felt inviting. Right? Make sure your primaries are the primaries and your secondaries are the secondaries, and watch out for that false guilt that we place upon ourselves to say, "I should be doing this in order to succeed or be successful." When in reality, we're not called to be successful. We're called to find rest. And that first starts with Christ. And then the second thing is, what are we doing throughout our days? So I want to encourage you, if you need help, if you want to talk with us, reach out to us. Come to our website, fill out a consult form, and we'll get a counselor in touch with you. And just be encouraged that you're not alone and that you have others that are around you. So build those systems and build those communities so that you can find rest. Thank you for listening to the Encouragement Now podcast. For more information about us, what we're doing, and how you can support our ministry, please go to encouragementnowministries.com. Your support can help change lives.